In January, Khalil Anderson is poised to become the youngest member of the State Assembly, as he recently won a six-way Democratic primary for the heavily Democratic 31st Assembly District in Queens. Anderson will likely be one of 19 new faces in the Democratic majority in the Assembly, and is part of a wave of anti-establishment left candidates backed by the Working Families Party during the June primaries. He joins us now to discuss his bid for elected office, his plans for 2021, and much more. Welcome to the show, Khalil.
Thank you so much for having me.
So for starters, can you provide a bit of an introduction for listeners who are just now getting to know you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Khalil Anderson, and I am a community organizer and activist from the Rockaway community that has been essentially on the front lines of fighting back against systemic racism and issues that have plagued our district and our community for far too long. I started out as an activist, just kind of following alongside my mom, who was an organizer for a very well-known group that did a lot of great organizing work out of Brooklyn. And I got into organizing because I saw the people power that we were able to build and generate through just working with people, collecting ideas, trying to implement ideas, and just overall working to improve the community. And as a youth organizer, I was a key, ally in helping, move forward an organization, two organizations, one youth and one focused on resiliency, to really address some of the quality of life issues we face in the 31st Assembly District. That includes lack of access to housing, environmental racism, food insecurity, things of that nature that really hurts the community, and I've been able to lead on those issues, helping build out a full-acre urban farm, fighting back against the MTA to extend Q52 bus service, and just being a strong voice for schools in our community.
What made you decide to make that leap from activism, which, runs in your family, to, wanting to be part of the government machine itself?
So I saw, the amount of change that could be made in these spaces if the right person's in these seats. And I never planned to run for public office. I always have planned to just continue to be a public servant. As a recent college graduate, my degree is in urban studies, and I thought that, with that degree, I'd be out in a space of service, in a space of activism, and continue that work. But I an opportunity came up to run for the assembly, and I decided, well, I can do so much more in this space. Let's go for it. Let's see how much more we can get accomplished, not just for the Rockaways, but for all of Southeast Queens. What we can do to fight back against these issues that I discussed.
I read that you had a quote-unquote horizontal campaign model. What does that mean?
So horizontal leadership really just allows the folks who are the key leaders on your campaign to feel equal, to feel that their decisions and or thoughts and ideas matter. And we ran a horizontal leadership campaign so that people in our spaces of my four main leaders, to be specific, felt as though their ideas were uplifted, no idea is a bad idea, and that all contributions were received, all contributions to, what we're trying to do and winning the election were received and deemed necessary and important. So even if we didn't go with everything, I tried to make sure it was as democratic and as idea-centered as possible.
Well, that's interesting because you're heading into a chamber which is, I guess ideally small D democratic, but there is a leader, Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie, and a lot of the decisions through the chamber flow through him. So I'm curious, what do you think about the structure in Albany? What have you heard, and are you looking forward to being a part of this apparatus?
Well, we got some issues in the Assembly. We do have the space to model after horizontal leadership in the Assembly. It's very possible to do it. It just has to be the political will there. And one of the things that I take issue with, is just, how little the legislative branches of our state government have in the budget process. And that's why I joined 26 of my colleagues yesterday calling for a memorandum, if you will, a piece of legislation, that would create an equal or a level playing field, if you will, with the legislature and the executive on the budget negotiations process. So it's not a space where it's take it or leave it, but it's more so of contributing those ideas. And again, working to create that horizontal leadership we had in our campaign through the budgets process. I think that out of, all 150 members of the assembly and all 63 senators, within the state Senate, can contribute in a healthy way to the budget discussions process, and that's just not what we're seeing right now. Everything has flown through the two leaders, and we need to make that process more democratic and more fair. So I practice what I preach.
Do you think you'd want to support Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie for another two years as a leader of the chamber when you arrive in January?
I think one of the most important things is looking at whether or not the speaker can build coalition, can work with folk. If the speaker can understand that we've got a new crop of elected officials coming in who hail from the progressive spaces and movements. So I'm certainly, not opposed to it, but I definitely want to see that aspect before I commit to it. Looking at ways you can build coalition rather than shut us out, because we represent collectively over 1 million-plus New Yorkers. Probably a lot more than that. But in any case, we represent, over 1 million-plus New Yorkers who sent us to Albany to have their voices represented. And at this moment, it's the speaker's voice who we hear a lot more than the members, and we need to change that dynamic. So I would like to see a commitment to that before I could feel comfortable committing to what you just requested, what you asked.
And we're speaking with Khalil Anderson, who is poised to become the youngest member of the State Assembly when he takes office in January as a representative for the 31st Assembly District in Queens. I also read in a story where you were quoted as saying, I am the left. I assume that's referring to the political left. What did you mean by that quote?
Yeah, what I was trying to get at in that quote, and I hope I made the point clear with folk. But basically, what I was saying was we, as folks who are on the ground, define what the left politics are. They're not defined by a single group or a single idea, but a set of ideas that are keen and near to the district or neighborhood that you're running to represent. Obviously, there are a core set of traits that define the left, but I said, I am the left in that article to really just signify that, we have to start taking back that messaging and making sure that it's specific to the neighborhood and the needs of the neighborhood. So bringing it down to local level. But while keeping those same traits and principles of what it is to be on the left.
Are there any incumbent lawmakers that you look up to, as a 24-year-old and members that you're looking forward to working with in January?
Wow. I'm excited to... Because you got to understand, we've got this amazing crop of folks that are coming in that have a lot of good ideas, have a lot of good vision, and have been on the front lines in their communities. I certainly like... You're going to get me in trouble. it's interesting because a lot of the elected officials in Albany really come with their own story. So I definitely certainly look at some of the stuff that Senator Sanders has done in the legislature around banks, looking at some of the stuff Senator Biagi has done around just fighting for health care. Her and Gustavo have done a lot of work around health care. But I also look at other folks like Assemblymember Harvey Epstein, who was really supportive and has done a lot around the tenant advocacy space, which I'm so excited to work closely with him. So I would say those are the crop of folks, I'm looking at and look to, in terms of influence and just learning more about this space and how we can be most effective.
there was a major influx of mail-in ballots in June as a result of the governor and legislature liberalizing New York's absentee ballots in response to the public health emergency, but many have been thrown out because of really minor technical errors. And I saw reporting that more than a third of the votes by mail were disqualified in your race, at least initially. How do we address this for November?
Yeah, so, and that was the frustrating part about, you know, this election was that here we are, we give the opportunity to the citizenry to vote via mail. They're doing everything that they think they can and should do to ensure that their vote counts. And, you know, weeks after they've cast their ballot via mail, they find out that, you know, their vote didn't count because of some clerical error and things like that. So I think the best way to really look at how we improve for next time, including for November, is for the legislature to pass a piece of legislation that exists in many states across the country, a cure, if you will, a piece of legislation that would allow the voter to come into their local board of elections or correspond via mail to cure any deficiencies or any issues regarding their voting. It really allows people to be a part of that democratic process. It really allows people to have their voices heard. And it's sad that over 1,100 ballots were thrown out in this assembly district. That means 1,100-plus people went unheard. 1,100-plus people who probably had stellar voting records or decent voting records now have this blemish in their voting records, which folks really care about that stuff. That's very important to maintain a positive voting record. Now don't have that, and that's unfair, that's undemocratic, and we need to pass legislation around allowing voters to cure their votes, if you will.
In preparation for this interview, I was looking at a map of the 31st Assembly District, and I noticed that it's split up by some water. And I was curious, you know, as someone who lives in this district, you know, knows the people, we've got redistricting coming up in the next 2 years. Should your district be redrawn, or does it make sense the way it's currently constituted?
Yeah, there's a lot of issues with the map and how the district is drawn. You know, from end to end, it takes about 2 hours to get across the district, albeit driving or public transportation. I think it's about 2.5 or something of that sort. So I definitely think that the district line, you know, should look or should be addressed in a way that is effective in keeping communities together. There's a lot of, I guess, just a lot of, like, discrepancies with the way the district is drawn. You've got some of Rockaway in there, not all of it. You got some of Ozone in there, not all of it. Some of Springfield Gardens in there, not all of it. So we're kind of separating neighbors, friends and family, you know, from these districts and the way these lines are drawn. So it's definitely a weird thing. I think someone told me my district looks like a python with a cone on its head. Really. But it's weird because I don't see that. But a lot of districts have these really strange maps. But you know, in this space, we're really unfortunately separating communities, and we want to bring communities together. So certainly it should be assessed.
You're going to be the youngest member of the assembly when you take office, assuming everything goes as planned in November. What does that mean to you? Is it just about proving yourself? Is it about, you know, an additional insight that you might have that older members might not have? What does it mean?
I think it means I have a closer to the ground lived experience from a young person's perspective. I think it means that young people who have historically been left out of government, of decision making, and of these processes now have a voice through me. Now have the ability to feel as though that their voices matter, feel as though that they can be a part of this crazy fold that we call government, and feel as though that they can be a voice in these spaces where they traditionally just have not been. So I don't think it's more of a thing of me proving myself. I think it's more of a thing of how do we inspire the next crop of young people.
We've been speaking with Khalil Anderson, who is the likely next representative for the 31st Assembly District in Queens. Khalil, thank you so much for making the time.
Dave, thank you so much for having me on.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.